Pastor Michael E. Ton. I'm the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We're at 311 North Dunbar, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We want to welcome you to today's program. Today you're going to be listening to a word either from myself, my lovely wife Kimberly E. Ton, or associate minister at Bethlehem, or a teacher. But before we get into Word today, we just want to welcome those who are listening throughout our MySpace page at www.myspace.com/Pastor Michael E. Ton. That's E-A-T-O-N. Maybe listening through our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com or a podcast of the same name, Hear God's Word at Bethlehem, or through our Women of Divine Faith or other
ministries all on the internet. Now, let's get the key.
Father God, we come right now calling out to you, Father, saying, Savior. Oh, Savior, oh, blessed Savior, do not have us by, Father. Help us, Father, right now to set our hearts and our minds upon your word, Father. Do not pass us by. Father, we pray, Lord, as your word is being spoke, Father, that you will tell somebody what you want them to know, Father, that you would encourage them, instruct them, Father, comfort them, Father, for such a time as this. Do not, Father, do not pass us by, Father. Father, confess our sins unto thee, that we might be in right relationship with you, Father. We might be in right fellowship with you, that we may hear what you have to say. Help us, Father, to be doers of the word and not just hearers. We thank you, Father. We praise your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. And praise the Lord. Amen. And praise the Lord. Bethlehem. That sounds real good. Bethlehem. That is our goal. That is our mantra for this year. Last year we wanted to know him. This year we want to make him known. And as we are making him known this month, we're going to talk about making him known through love. Making him known through love. And it's because of his love that we should be willing to go stand and speak. It's because, like the picture on the screen, God loved you this much. Christ's arms are stretched wide. Because God's love is unconditional, unlimited, and complete. Because God is love, we are charged to make him known. And this morning we're going to share a message entitled The Faithfulness of God's Love. The faithfulness of God's love. And we're going to be looking at Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39. Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39. Please stand in reverence to the word of God. Stand symbolically saying that I will stand on the word of God. Say to your neighbor, neighbor. Oh, neighbor, I'm going to stand on this word. Let's read this out loud together on three. One, two, three. Oh, life or air nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. You may be seated in the household of the Lord. We're talking about the faithfulness of God's love. The faithfulness of God's love. The faithfulness of God's love. God's love. God will love you in trouble. God will love you in torment. God will love you in tragedy. God makes himself known by loving us in all the troubles of life. God makes himself known by loving us through all the troubles of life. Undoubtedly, if you're at the sound of my voice, most of you know what it's like to go through hardship. Undoubtedly, at the sound of my voice, there are some who've experienced some things that were meant to separate you from the love of God. Or the devil asked permission to touch your life with hardship. Because he said, like Job, if you give him or her some hardship, they'll curse you to your face. Give him or her some persecution, they will curse you to your face. If you have them to have to miss a meal and not know where their next meal is going to come from, they will curse you to your face. You put them in some danger. You take away a loved one and they will curse you to your face. And undoubtedly, at the sound of my voice, there are some who have been through all of these different things. The kind of trouble that makes you even want to question God's love for you or God's love towards mankind. And throughout a world that we've lived in, throughout the ages, people have posed the question, if God is a loving God, why did he allow this to happen? If God is a loving God, why did I lose my mother? Why did I lose my daddy? If God is a loving God, why did I have to lose my job? Why did I have to lose my health? If God is a loving God, throughout the ages, many have posed the question, why do good things happen or bad things happen to good people? Because it is hard and tragic to see good people go through hardship. Well, and undoubtedly, in our culture, in our society, and even here in Paul's Valley, some may pose the question, if God is a loving God, why did he not let her live longer? Yeah. If God is a loving God, why didn't he have his hedge of protection around her? And we have many youth who are mourning the death, along with members of our church, of a sweet loved one. If God is a loving God, why does these things tend to happen? I pose the question. Not why, but really, why not? Because the Bible tells us that it is appointed unto man. It didn't say when that appointment was, but it is appointed unto man. So much so, Dr. Evans pontificated on a person's real age. A person's real age cannot be determined by the life that they live, but not by their birth date, but by their death date. Hello, somebody. Because if I am to lose my life at 45, then I'm an old man right now. Hello, somebody. So some, at the sound of my voice, have been struggling with some of the things that are going on and even questioning God's love. The writer of Romans seemed not to pontificate on things such as this. The writer of Romans had a different view on life itself. The writer of Romans somehow takes God through it all. As we used to sing that song, through it all. He doesn't pose the question, why hardship? But he says that I don't believe that any hardship can separate me from the love of Christ. He doesn't pose why the trouble or why the hardship, why the persecution, why do people keep speaking their name or my name out of their mouth and don't even know me. Why folk hating on me? Oh, he doesn't question why the famine. He doesn't question why the nakedness. He doesn't question why the danger or why the sword. He doesn't question that at all. But what he does is what we should do, is that we should know that God loves us regardless of the circumstance. Oh, the writer says that I am convinced that neither death, hello somebody, nor life, hello somebody, nor angels, nor demons, nor the present, nor the future, nor any powers, nor heights or depths, nor anything else in all creation is able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. So he doesn't allow the circumstances to cause him to question God's love. He's so tied into God that he can ignore the circumstances. Hello, somebody. And that's our problems, is that we focus on the problems in life. Whereas if we're going to have victory, if we're going to be, as it says in this text, more than conquerors, what we have to do is to know what the text is telling us today, that God loves us in trouble. All right. Hello, somebody. Has anybody here ever been in trouble? Is there anybody here ever been in trouble? You see, I've been in two kinds of trouble. I've been in some trouble that I got myself into, and then I got in some trouble that I didn't get myself into. Oh, but I've had to deal with two kinds of trouble. Oh, somebody's here at the sound of my voice, and you're in trouble. Oh, and you know you're wrong, and you got yourself in trouble, and you've been struggling with this thing. You've been seeking a way out. You've been seeking a way of escape, and the devil has tried to give you an unbiblical way out. Oh, you need to take these drugs. You need to take these alcohol. You need to take your life. You can't get out of this kind of trouble. Oh, you know that you're wrong, but I'm so glad that my God loves me in the midst of all kinds of, in the midst of that trouble that I got myself into, that midst of trouble that I did wrong, my God still loves me. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh neighbor, God still loves you in Jesus' name. I'm so glad about his mercy. I'm so glad about his grace, because I need mercy and grace on both ends of trouble. I've needed mercy and grace when I've gotten myself in trouble, and I needed mercy and grace when I didn't even do nothing to be in trouble. But in and through it all, I had to focus on the Lord, my Savior, and know God loves me in trouble. God loves me in trouble. And when I know that God loves me in trouble, I can stand on this word at, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 8 to 9. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. And there's somebody here, you're hard pressed, and the devil is trying to crush you. But if you keep your eyes on Jesus, he can press all he wants. He can press on every side all he wants. But guess what? If you keep your eyes on him, you cannot be crushed in Jesus' name. So devil, press me all you want. I cannot be defeated. I'm more than a conqueror. Oh, I've got trouble on every side. I've got the kind of trouble that I got myself into, and then I've got the kind of trouble on the other side that I didn't get myself into, and they're pressing me, but I will not be crushed in Jesus' name. Say to your neighbor, neighbor! Oh, neighbor, I will not be crushed in Jesus' name. Oh, and the text goes on to say, oh, somebody here came here today and you're perplexed. You can't figure it out. Oh, you can't find a way out. You've been trying to use your own mind. That's why you're perplexed. Instead of standing on the word of God, where it tells us to trust in him with all of our hearts and to lean not to our own understanding. And that's why you are perplexed. You've been trying to figure it out. You don't have to figure it out. And because you can't figure it out, the devil wants you to be depressed. The devil wants you to be downtrodden. The devil wants you to lose your mind up in here, up in here. But I'm so glad that my God loves me so much that he can love me through the perplexities of life. All I have to do is live, and he'll take care of me. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Perplexed, but not in despair. Don't you hate them kind of folk who are losing and don't realize that they are losing? You see, I was one of them crazy people when I was growing up. Even if I did get beat up, I'd get up acting like I won. I'd get up saying, and you better not touch me again. Oh, and got my behind beat, but I'd act. They said, man, that fool crazy. We better leave him alone. But that's what we have to do when the devil beats up on us, when the devil puts us in perplexity, when the devil press on every side. You better get up again and act like you won the battle. You better get up again and act like you've got the victory. You better get up again. Oh, you better get up again. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh, neighbor, you better get up again in Jesus' name, because you are more than a conqueror. Which means that even if you're not conquering, you're more than a conqueror. Oh, even when I lose, I conquer. Oh, there's a song that says, even when I lose, I win. Hello, somebody. That's somebody that's more than a conqueror. You just can't identify me as a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror. I might lose the battle, but still win the war. Oh, I am more than a conqueror in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God loves me through all of this trouble. Oh, I've been persecuted, but I'm not abandoned. I've been struck down, but I am not destroyed. Oh, as a matter of fact, trouble may be my middle name, but trouble won't define me. Ooh, let me say that again. Trouble may be my middle name, but trouble won't define me. Come here, Jabez, tell me how to handle a name of trouble. Oh, Jabez, his mama named him Pain, literally pain. She bore him in pain, and she gave him a name that was meant to keep him in pain, to keep him in trouble. But he had to learn to turn from his mama's name, turn from the absence of his daddy, and had to call out to God and say, Lord, that you would bless me in Jesus. And somebody here, you better learn, oh, to give over your middle name, to give over what folk are calling you, and depend upon the Lord and say, Lord, I'm in this trouble, but Lord, bless me and bless me indeed. Lord, enlarge my territories in Jesus' name. He loves me in trouble. Hello, somebody. To anybody here in trouble, just cause you in trouble don't mean God don't love you.
Right.
Oh, let me tell you, just cause you're in trouble don't mean that God don't love you. As a matter of fact, if you're open, this could be the most intimate time that you have in this life. It's when you turn to him out of the troubles of this life and you develop an intimate relationship with him. There's no time into which I've grown. I wish I couldn't give this testimony. Seems to be hard for me to grow when everything is going right. Hello, somebody. It seemed to be hard to grow when you're on the mountaintop. Oh, but put me in the valley. Like David, oh, when I have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, oh, then I have to depend upon the Lord. And somebody here, God is keeping you in trouble so that he can develop that intimate relationship with him. In Jesus' name. The proverbial story about the sheep that strayed all the time, and the shepherd, oh, didn't want him to stray no more, so the shepherd broke his leg, and he had to carry him everywhere he went. He had to carry the lamb everywhere he went, and he carried the lamb right over his heart where the lamb could hear his heartbeat. Oh, and before he got healed, oh, that lamb developed an intimate relationship with that shepherd, so when he did get healed, guess what? He didn't stray again because he knew God's heartbeat, or the shepherd's heartbeat. God is trying to get you to know his heartbeat so that you won't stray again. He wants to bless you, but every time he bless you,
well,
hello, somebody. You wander. Hello, somebody. And that's why I know that God loves me in trouble. Even when he breaks me, he loves me. Ooh. Go ahead and give God a hand clap of praise. Even when he breaks me, he loves me. Hello, somebody. There's a method to his madness. Hello, somebody. He loves me in trouble. But also, he loves me in torment. You know, torment is getting personal. Torment is you putting your hands on me. Torment, you playing mind games with me. Hello, somebody. Now surely the Lord, if he loves me, he wouldn't let nobody touch me. You know, some of us are holy until somebody touches. Hello, somebody. We're working on that text about turning the other cheek. We can't conceptualize this term about turning the other cheek. If you hit me, if you hit me, I'm gonna hit you back. That's what mama told us to do. Wasn't that what mama told us to do? You catch me on a day two, you know, I tell them, don't let no bully. You want to be bullied your whole life, then you better hit back. I ain't saying that's right. I'm teaching the word this morning. The Bible tells us it's created to turn the other cheek. Say, so you're in torment. Oh, and even torment can't separate you. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall trouble or shall hardship? Shall hardship when people touching me and I have to go through some stuff. People are playing mind games on me and I have to, oh, I'm being tormented. Preacher, you don't know that mate that I have tormented me. Hello, somebody. You don't know that professor I have. That professor got an issue with my hue. And he or she is tormenting me. You don't know my coach. Oh, I'm the fastest player on the team, and he's tormenting me, having me do all this, and I never get to get in the game. You don't know, preacher. I've been tormented, and surely God can't love me if I've been tormented. There's some folk in here that's been through some stuff, like a news story about a little child was locked in a closet, and in order to survive had to eat wood. That little child was tormented. Hello, somebody. The slave trade and human trafficking, these folk have been tormented. Surely God, if you are God, you'll take issue with this. Seem like the word says that regardless of how you've been tormented in this life, God still loves you. Ooh, let me say that again, because somebody's going to get ministered to because you were tormented and messed with by your mother and your daddy, and you think that you're no good. Deep down in your subconscious mind, you don't think you're worth anything, but God is saying today that you're worth everything. That I loved you. I loved you even though your mother didn't love you. I loved you even though your daddy didn't love you. I loved you even though your big mama didn't like you. I loved you even though your whole family rejected you and they tormented you growing up, and they always talked about you, picked on you. You felt like you've been picked out to be picked on. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Even in and through that, God says that I love you. I love you. I never stop loving you. I love you. Say to your neighbor, neighbor. Oh, neighbor. God loves you. He loves you in troubles. He loves you in hardship. As the text says, of ministry work, and this is for ministers and deacons and anybody that tries to make a difference with God in this life, oh, you're going to have to suffer. Right. I believe the Sunday school lesson and teacher touched on that a little bit, and I know the preacher we had yesterday, Tommy, challenged us to take up our cross. That you're going to have to suffer when you have something going for you. And many times these are the people that suffer the most or tormented the most. They called you ugly because you look good. Yeah. Let me say that again. They called you ugly because you look good. Hello, somebody. They called you slow because you were fast. Hello, somebody. They told you you couldn't talk because when you talk with the voice of an angel. And the devil has been trying to break you down because, oh, he doesn't want you to get on fire for the Lord. Because if you get on fire for the Lord, your gifts, talents, and abilities could turn this world upside down. So the devil, oh, when you were growing up, was putting you in trouble and trying to torment you to make you think that you're no good. But God says that I love you. Even when your stepdaddy was talking to you, I love you. Even when your big mama didn't like you. Well. Oh, when you're being tormented, God loves you. But we all have to go through something. 1 Corinthians 4, 12 says we work hard with our own hands. Well. And we were blessed. What? And we are cursed. We blessed. And what? And we were persecuted? Wait a minute. This don't make any sense now, Lord. Let me read this again, Lord. I'm working hard. I'm putting in my time. I'm doing everything that I should do. But that person that's, brown-nosing the boss gets the promotion.
Well,
hello, somebody.
That was
right. What? We worked hard with our own hands. And we were cursed. Oh, and we tried to bless folk.
Uh-huh.
And we were persecuted. I'm trying to do right. I want to do right. But it seems like the wrong results happen. What should I do when I'm doing everything right but getting no results? Hello, somebody. I'm in trouble. I've been persecuted. I've been tormented. What do I do when it seems like it won't work out? What do I do? What does it say? What does the text say? I like that. But what can do it?
Yeah.
And God is saying to somebody today that you've got to endure. You've got to preach a sermon. Oh, you've got to press for your blessings. Don't allow the devil to hold you up. Don't stop moving. You've got to keep moving. You've got to keep enduring. You've got to keeping on in Jesus' name. Don't give up. Don't get despair. Don't throw in the towel. You've got to keep on moving. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, you better keep moving. In Jesus' name. You better be on your holy grind. Hello, somebody. You better be on your holy hustle. In the world, they tell you to hustle hard. Oh, but you better hustle for the Lord in Jesus' name. Even when it seems like you're losing, even when you're being crushed, even when you're being shut down, oh, you better keep on keeping on, keep on enduring in Jesus' name. Say to your neighbor, be encouraged, endure. In Jesus' name. God knows about your troubles. God knows about your torment. God even knows about your tragedy. Hello, somebody. Because sometimes when tragedy strikes, we think that God doesn't know. When tragedy strikes, we think that somehow we fall off the radar of God's love. When tragedy strikes, when things are not going our way, when we lose in the stock market instead of gain, when we have to sell all of our cattle, our stocks in bonds, when our 401k seems to be depleted, tragedy happens. Oh, but even in tragedy, God says that I love you.
Amen.
I love you. It says in the text, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine?
Amen.
We had been in a famine this last year. The president of our minister's conference was talking about coming to town early so that he could do a little fishing. And I said, well, I know a good deacon in our church that loves to fish. As a matter of fact, he used to fish with Roy C. Johnson back in the day. And I was just encouraging him to come on down. Yeah, we got some of the best fishing in the world down here in Paul's Alley. I talked with Deacon Ross, and Deacon Ross had to let me know that the ponds have all dried up, Pastor. Because we have been in a drought. Ain't no fish no more. Our own Deacon Prince tells of a story of walking out his front door and looking and seeing all the buses across the street on his land. He thought one of his cows had died. But the pond had dried up and it made the fish real easy to catch for the buses. Just because your pond has dried up doesn't mean that the Lord don't love you. Let me say that again. Just because your spiritual pond has dried up, you don't feel it the way you used to feel it. Oh, it doesn't mean that God don't love you. Just because your physical pond has dried up doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. Just because your emotional pond has dried up. There's somebody here, you used to love your mate, but oh, your pond has dried up. Your mate's pond has dried up. The love for your children, for you or them, has dried up. Oh, but God says, just because your pond has dried up doesn't mean that I don't love you. Hello, somebody. I love you. Through it all and in it all. We all have to go through stuff in this life. I wish I could be like the prosperity preachers and tell you that you won't have any trouble in this life, but that is a lie from the pit of hell. Right. Right. Hello, somebody. Jesus said that in this life, you will. Hello, somebody. It's going to happen. Tragedies. Famines, oh, and nakedness, dangers and swords. It's going to happen in this life. 1 Corinthians 4:11 says, what it says, to this very hour we are well fed and we are drinking up. What? Wait a minute, that's the basic need that a human being needs is food. Right. Now many of us, we know we cannot relate to going hungry. I know I can't relate. Not now anyway. There's been some times in my life where I had to survive off of ramen noodles. Hello, somebody. But I wasn't hungry. There's some times in this life where I used to wonder why Mama Nim had those dry beans. We used to always have dry beans up in the cabinet. Dry beans. Why did Mama Nim have those dry beans? Huh? Boy, when I was hungry, I soaked them dry beans up, and it was a meal. Right. Yeah. Hello, somebody. I had to pay for it. I ain't gonna tell you how I had to pay for it. But I wasn't hungry. Some of y'all get that on the way home. I know what it's like, but I wasn't hungry, man. I don't know anything about being thirsty because there's always been water. Hello, somebody. Yeah, so you may not have had a Kool-Aid, couldn't afford the sugar. But this, wait a minute, this is a holy man of God. Oh, this would be somebody in our day and time that somebody could be accused of not being a man of God. Because after all, if you are a man of God, surely God's going to bless you all the time.
Well, now.
Hello, somebody. To this very hour, we are to this very hour, as he wrote the letter, to this very hour, I'm hungry, and I'm thirsty, and we are in rags. See, most of us don't know. I cannot relate to being in rags. My mom and them can relate to being in rags, and I benefit their hard work, because they picked their cotton there in Colville, Louisiana. I picked my cotton in Neiman Marcus in Dallas, Texas.
Well,
hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. But I don't know what it's like. And it seems like when I've always been the brokest, I always dress good. That's one of the ways you can know I'm broke is I'm dressed good. These guys. Rags. Man. And now I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, I have rags on, and guess what? We are bitterly treated. Lord have mercy. God beaten. And we are homeless. Wow. How many of you would want this man to be your pastor? Pastor Search Committee got together. You wanted to interview him, and you came, and he came, and he sat down, and he said, well, preacher, tell us about yourself. And he says, well, I'm hungry. I need this job. I'm thirsty. I need this job. And he walked in with a holy suit on. You know what a holy suit on? A suit that got holes in it. Rags. You looking at him. You looked at his face and he got a black eye. And then you say, Reverend, now where do you live? And he said, well, I'm under the bridge. I'm homeless. Then most of y'all would probably ask him, why you want to be our pastor? Write him off! One of the holiest men to ever live! You write him off. And there's some folk here today, you're going through a hard time and people are writing you off. You're in a time of hunger. You're in a time of thirst. You're in a time of rags. You're in a time where people are mistreating you. You're in a homeless time. Hello, somebody. I remember being homeless because the devil tried to destroy me before I entered into full-time ministry. And I had lost it all. I was homeless, but even that was nothing. I only slept one night in a car. That was the end of my homelessness. Hello, somebody. But there's some folk who may be listening that you spent your time on the bench. As a matter of fact, the mailman brings your mail to the bench. Hello, somebody. But that still don't mean that God doesn't love you. Oh, Dr. E. K. Bailey went homeless at one time. Oh, before they brought him here to Oklahoma. And Dr. Jackson basically adopted him. He was homeless. Yeah. And people would have saw him when he was down on his love. They could have said, oh, there's nothing good about you. Nothing good can come from you. Surely, if you're going to be one of the greatest men to preach the word, you wouldn't be going through this. Yeah. Hello, somebody. Right. Hello, surely. Sometimes God has us, the greater call that's on your life. Sometimes he puts you down lower. To a low, low point because he wants to use you and he don't want you to start tripping when you do get blessed. Oh, when you can remember. Hello, somebody. At a time when you never had a home, then you will never take it for granted that this home the Lord gave to me. Yeah. Hello, somebody. When you remember that you are in some rags and somebody give you a good suit, you'll remember. Yeah. Oh, that those rags I used to wear, and then you'll know how to wear a suit and not have a suit wear you. Hello, somebody. Because some people get so sharp they can't do nothing. Hello, somebody. I tell my wife, don't you spend much on my shoes, because if I got to cut through some water, if I got to cut through some grass, I'm going to cut through it to do what God calls me to do. Hello, somebody. That's why some folk can't drive a nice car. Because the car will begin to drive them. Yeah. Hello, somebody. Hello. Instead of serving the Lord, can we ask everybody to clean up at the church? Maybe if you spend less time cleaning up your car and taking care of the house of the Lord. Hello, somebody. Some folk out shining that car. And guess what? You better not eat in that car. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Just because you're going through a bad time, it may be directly opposite. It may be that God has some greater plans for you. So he has to do some stuff that will keep you humble. Hello there, Paul. This is what I'm going to do for you, Paul. I'm going to stick you in the side. This is what I'm going to do to you. Torn in the flesh. Hello, somebody. For what? Why did God do that? Surely. To keep him what? to keep him humble. Can somebody at the sound of my voice, you think God don't love you? God loves you even more because he wants to keep you humble because of the surpassing greatness in the way he's going to use you. He has to allow this tragedy to happen in your life. In your life. In downtown Dallas, I can remember back then I had to catch the bus, so I went to catch the bus, and I was downtown. I always used to pass by a skyscraper. At least they said it was going to be a skyscraper, but you know, I passed by there so long, and I never seen. I looked at just like a big hole. I was wondering when they gonna really build. It's just big hole. The hole just seemed to keep getting bigger. And somebody told me, well, the higher the building has to go, the deeper the hole has to go down. Hello, somebody. And that's why you can manifest God's love, oh, in trouble and in torment and in tragedy. It's because, oh, God is digging deeper down because he wants to build something great in your life, in your family, at your job, at your work, with your bank account. Oh, he wants to do something greater. And that's why you, even when you have lands on, you better act like $1 million. Hello, somebody. Because God loves me. Even when I'm hungry, you better act like you're fed. Hello, somebody. Because God's love is faithful. And it just amazes me. This word just seems to reject really any of the concept of anything that causes me trouble, causes me torment, causes me tragedy. And the writer had enough nerve to say, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Ooh, that amazes me. He says, who can separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, shall hardship, shall persecution, shall famine, shall nakedness, shall dangers or swords? As it is written, oh, for your sake, we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, what? We are more than conquerors. So even when I lose, I win.
Right.
Even when I lose, I win. I'm more than a conqueror through him who loves us. Oh, because if that wasn't enough, he had to go on and tell you how convinced he is that nothing can separate us from the love of God. And let me tell you how convinced I am, the writer says, for I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present, wait a minute, not even the present or the future, Lord, nor any powers that come up against me. Oh, some of you are coming up against some powers, and they are satanic powers, but you can know that they can't win. The devil can't win because you're on God's side. Like last week, we had to let you know that if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you cannot be possessed like the man in the text was last week. He was possessed. But God said, I love you so much. Oh, that any powers, nor heights, nor deaths. Oh, somebody probably thought because of the shipwreck that God didn't love them. And as we've seen on television, this cruise ship went into the depths. Oh, but God says, not even the deaths, oh, can separate you from my love, nor anything else in creation. Oh, for what? For we'll be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Somebody today, God wants you to be encouraged. And all you need to do is decide in your heart and mind that you're going to continue to persevere. Because this morning, this day, I began to feel God's love. It has come in on me like a flood. It has surrounded me. And God has told me that nothing can separate me from his love. Not even myself. We laughed this morning when Deacon Melvin says that he's standing in for himself. I'm so glad that God stands in for me. Give God a hand clap of praise up in here, up in here. Through and in it, to it all. He loves me. Deacons, will you come? All eyes closed and heads bowed, saints are praying. Nothing can separate you from the love of God, because God demonstrated his love in Christ Jesus our Lord. For the Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And because he died, you can live today. Yes. Because he came to this earth, lived 33 years, three of those years in ministry. Last second and last moment of his life he spent in the Garden of Gethsemane, praying, Lord, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. When he left that garden, he would have to suffer. And he's a perfect example of what it's like to have to suffer and still not be separated from the love of God. Because he had to suffer on that day when he carried that cross. He had to suffer trouble. He had to suffer hardship. He had to suffer persecution. He had to suffer nakedness. He had to suffer the sword and dangers. He carried that cross to a hill called Golgotha. After they put a crown of thorn on his head, mocked him and beat him and scorned him, they nailed him to that cross that day, held him up between two thieves, but still that couldn't separate him from the love of God. Oh, and he had to give up his ghost because they couldn't take his life away, and he gave up his ghost and he died. He didn't die for himself. He died for you and for me. He died for everyone that would enter into a personal relationship with God. I'm so glad that when he dies, the Bible says that he didn't stay dead. For the Bible lets us know that he got up early on the third day. I said he got up early on the third day, because nothing could separate him from the love of God. Not even death could separate him from the love of God. And he raised.
Hello again, this is Pastor Michael Eaton. I've been your host for today's program. Before we sign off, we just want to make sure that you have a personal relationship with God. You know, many people are waiting to have a personal relationship with God. They're waiting because they're trying to clean up their life or get right with God, to stop smoking or cursing before they come to the house of the Lord. And you know what I tell them? There's nothing that you can do or stop doing that would make you right for a relationship with God. The thing that you must do, however, is take God's provision. You see, in order to get right with God, you have to meet him on his terms, and his terms is Jesus Christ. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And the Bible says that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Bible also said that God demonstrated his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. God's only Son, God's love, Christ died for us. So in order to get right with God, you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you can do that today by praying this simple prayer. Dear God, I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and I believe in my heart that Jesus died for my sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Dear God, come into my life, come into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Amen. praise the Lord. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, then the angels in heaven are rejoicing, for now you are a child of the living King. Because you're a child of the living King, you have to find God's family, and that's what the church is. The church is God's family here on earth. We love and believe by faith that you've been born to the household of faith here at Bethlehem. Again, we're at 311 North Dunbar in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We'd love to see you in our services. But if you're listening throughout the world, listening throughout the United States, Canada, United Kingdom, or even China, we're going to pray that God will deliver you to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-living church where you can grow up in the things of God. We want to thank you once again for listening. And again, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you need to find a church home. A baby born needs to be a baby born in the family, because babies can't make it on their own. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are a spiritual baby.
Thank you for
must find a church home. Again, we want to thank you for joining us today. And I'm going to give us a final benediction. A benediction is a final blessing. Father God, we thank you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name that you would bless everyone at the sound of my voice, especially the new children of God. Deliver them safely to a church home and put your hedge of protection around us all. Keep us safe from all harm and danger until we meet again, either here in Cyber Church or in the service. We thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello again. This is Pastor Mike Wheaton, the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We want to take this opportunity to see if God used this message in your heart, if your life has changed, if God really spoke to you and touched your heart and changed the moment in your life. We just want to thank God for how he's working in your life, but we also want to take this opportunity to see if we can get you to sow a seed in the life of our church. Right now we're entering into a building program, and we've calling this program Vision to Reality. And this is phase one of our building program, and I've told many of our members, you know, I may not serve at a mega church, but I do serve a mega God. Not living in a mega city. This is Paul's Valley. But we serve a mega God because we're heard all over the United States and different countries and kingdoms. And we're believing that God owns the cattle on a thousand hills where you are. And if you take a moment and go to our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com, and you can hear it, tap the link on the MySpace page, or just go to the front page of our website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com and scroll to the bottom there. You'll see Vision to Reality, and that's where you can give to the building. And we want to do it kind of just like Obama did it. He raised his funds. It was just people, ordinary, everyday people, $25 that helped him to raise millions of dollars in a economy that people were saying that is depressed. I think that's God, and I believe God can do it for us, and we want you to give. Once again now, if God has touched and moved and worked in your life as a result of you listening to this ministry, we want you to give to Vision to Reality and help us to make our building here in Paul's Valley, state-of-the-art build, a reality, because you've taken time to give $25, $50, $10, $100, and you may be able to do more. Whatever God is laying on your heart, we need you so we can build this vision to a reality. May God bless you and keep you is my prayer. Again, go to the website, www.heargodsword.com. Definitely.